All right. Good morning. Hallelujah. So here we are. Sunday morning in America, free to worship. You know, I've been in some countries where we had to secretly meet in different churches because the police and the religion or whatnot didn't really appreciate Christians preaching in their countries. So we actually had to sometimes maybe even flee or run when they came near. And other times we actually, like you would say, okay, we met Wednesday. Okay, Sunday we're meeting here. But you didn't tell anybody where you were meeting till like a few days before. And they still found us somehow. I don't know how, but, you know, God is faithful. So I actually asked my son if he will do the intro reading today. Zeb, you want to come up? And maybe we could do something slightly different. Maybe we could stand for the intro reading. We'll be in Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to start in verse 13, and we're reading the New King James. Matthew 5:13, New King James.
Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand and give it light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that you may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
Thanks. All right, let's pray. His hands were sweaty. I wonder why. All right, so let's pray. So, Father, we praise you and thank you. You are a great God. And, Father, these are your words. They are inspired. They are truth. They are light. They speak to our hearts. They speak to our minds. And, Father, I ask this morning that you open our hearts, you open our minds to receive your engrafted word. Make it part of us, Father. Father, use this vessel and speak to each one of us individually and corporately, Father. And again, bless Pastor Moore and his travels. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's be seated. So I'm going to read that one more time. And I want you to just think of the word light a little bit as we read this. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 13, New King James. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lampstand and put it under a basket. But on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. In verse 16, and I like slides. We'll go to my first slide. It's already up there. She's beat me. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And here's the key, right? The key of this. And they may glorify your Father in heaven. Right? That we are like that light, but ultimately it's not that they see me and my light, but really that they see the person of Christ and they see and they glorify God who is in heaven. In Luke 11:33, it says very similar, but it says this: no one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. And you see these references in Scripture over and over about this light. In John chapter 8, verse 12, we read it like this. Then Jesus spoke, and this portion's from the adulterous woman, so, I mean, I'm obviously hopping around and catching key phrases, but these, feel free, you know, if you have a Bible, actually, can you hold it up? Hold up your Bible. Some of it may be an iPad in today's modern or whatever, but come on, Jesus, right? I encourage you, have a Bible. Pastor Brian Lange said it recently, like a written paper Bible was his words. And have a notebook and have a pen, one you can highlight in, one you can write in, one you can memorize things. And then when God speaks to you, you take notes. I use tabs. If this is because I followed Dr. Stevens for so long, he tabbed everything and he wrote on his tabs and tabs and tabs and tabs and notes on tabs and more notes. And I'll have a whole message on one little sticky note on one verse that I heard and I wrote down and I went back and I cataloged. Like, be people who carry a Bible, who take notes, who write in it, who highlight it when God speaks to you. All right, so John chapter 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So you can kind of catch my theme here. This morning, I want to talk about light, but I also want to talk about our testimonies, right? So if I was to name the message or title it, we could title something like a testimony of light. Three words, a testimony of light. So for a moment, let's just think about some things light does, right? If you're in the woods and it's pitch black, and it's overcast, you know, there's no stars, the moon is like non-existent, it's like pitch black. I've been there where you're like this and you can barely see your hand. It's like so dark, right? But what happens in the woods when it's that dark and you have a headlamp? I almost brought my headlamp and wore it during the message, and then I thought it might not go with my bow tie, so I decided not to. But what happens when you're in the woods and you turn on that headlamp? All of a sudden, it's like the darkness flees away from the light, and now what you couldn't see becomes very evident. Light shines in the darkness, and the darkness flees from that light. Another thing, point two, what other things may we see from light? Light guides people, right? Think about the olden days. There was a guy and his job was to keep the tower burning of the lighthouse. And that was his job. And that way when the ships were coming into harbor or they got close to rocks or whatever it may be, that lighthouse was a beacon standing ever so bright to guide those ships to say, hey, stay away from the rocks over here. You're almost there. Go a little south. Whatever it may be, that lighthouse was a guide to that ship. Another thing about light that's amazing is reflection and refraction. I looked these up because I wanted to make sure I got the definitions right. As Gossman smiles at me, he's like, ha, 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 ha. It's very tricky, actually. Like a light hitting a mirror coming back could be a reflection. But when a light hits something like a crystal and then it goes all over the place, they would call that more a refraction. So we'll be talking about that. Light causes these things, reflection, refraction. Our dog, if you put a crystal in a window and the lights go around the room, our dog goes nuts. That light makes him go crazy. So light is also very, very powerful. The last one is light shows people the way, right? You ever been in Saratoga, does these, they call it moonlit walks. And one of the things they'll do, you can rent snowshoes and you can hike the pass at nighttime. And what they'll do is they'll take little candles. And ever so often, they'll put a candle. And you know, like that candle to that candle to that candle to that candle. Because if you've ever been in snow, especially fresh snow at night, all of a sudden the path or the trail was there. It's not there anymore. The snow has buried the path, buried the trail, and I could tell you stories. I had to go into the Adirondacks And we had to look for a teenager who went up there going on a hike in like October, November, and a freak snowstorm came, and they got lost like near the top of Marcy because snow came, and the path wasn't there anymore that they followed in. But light shows people the path, right? In this moonlight snowshoeing, they put candles along the path, and it lets you see, especially if you're the first person, this is the path. And it shows us the way. John 14:6, Jesus Christ says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, right? So these things, this is the premise of our message this morning. So my next slide is our testimony. So I went to Webster's 1828, and this is where I always go back to, and I looked up the word testimony. And you could fill pages with this word when you look at the Webster's 1828. So for time's sake, I'm just going to abbreviate a few things. The Latin here for testimony is testimonium, and it means a testimony is the declaration of a witness. And it goes on and talks about must be under oath. A testimony differs from evidence. And then they talk about the degree of light which it affords. And then he goes down, and the great thing about Webster's 1828 is he uses scripture all over the place. The gospel, which testifies of Christ and declares the will of God, 1 Corinthians 2, 1 and 2, 2 Timothy 1, 8. The word, definition 8, of God and the scriptures is a testimony. And then he says, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple, Psalms 19, 7. And then they give you the word testimony. So here it is, testimony as a noun, a witness. And then testimony as a verb is to witness. So a witness, a noun, or to make it into an action is to witness. And I want to think of this a little bit this morning. What is a testimony? Your life is a testimony. Think about your workplace. Think about your family. Think about your friends. Your life is the light that they see of the gospel. Your life is a living example of Christ to other people. And I'm going to turn here to 2 Corinthians, and we'll go right to the next slide. It says this, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. You are an epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not of tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. So I want you to think about this right here, that your life is a testimony that the world sees. You are an epistle, and it's not written in paper right now. It's actually your life. The way we live our lives, the things we do, and all that it speaks about, it is a testimony of light, a living example of the person of Christ to the world we live in. So I want to give you two really brief testimonies. I kind of started with a little one, but I want to talk about our Mechanicville outreach. So we've been there on and off, and I don't even know, Sarah, how many years? Four or five, that's what I was thinking. Four or five, mainly fall, winter, spring, because by summer, nobody's going inside to play basketball. Everybody's at the park playing basketball. But we had this one young kid, and he was kind of smaller, shorter, stockier kid, and he would come. And some of you may have heard this testimony because I used it for an offering probably a year or two ago. And he would come and he would play, and he was like this, like just lively, funny kid. We would play volleyball sometimes, and he was not very good at hitting that volleyball with his hands. But he could headbutt it, and it went like over, and it became like this fun thing. And we had fun with him, he had fun with us. And he had a single mom, and the story goes that he went home one day. And he found his mother dead on the couch. And you imagine, this is like, that's insane to me, to even think about that. Single mom, only boy. And then we didn't see him, and we didn't see him, and we didn't see him. And we're like, you know, what happened? Where is he? And probably 3 or 4 Fridays went by, and his uncle showed up with him. And the uncle was telling us, like, how amazing we are. And we were like, no, you know, like, Jesus. And the uncle lived like an hour and a half away. And the uncle ended up, because of the whole situation, taking the boy in. And one of the things the boy was telling the uncle, I'm not giving any names on purpose here, is how Friday night sports touched the kid's life. And the boy was telling the uncle, and the uncle had to come back. He traveled like an hour and a half on a Friday to tell us the testimony that this young boy, like, was, you know, moved by God and, you know, probably prayed and received Christ there. I would guess, yes, that's very common at that time. We had kids pouring in and out. And what happened when he found his mother, he called his uncle, and the uncle ended up taking him in. And the boy was just saying how awesome, you know, the work of God was. And, you know, simply meet on Fridays and play some basketball and play some volleyball and at halftime do a devotional. And it touched this kid's life. So much so that he told his uncle about it after the fact. Or another testimony, right? These testimonies are stories that move us, but they're testimonies that we can actually use to inspire and to touch other people. So in 2001, it was I was getting my associate's degree in Bible college, and one of the things we did is we would travel in the summers often for our practicums. We had to build up X amount of hours preaching and teaching and whatever to get our next degrees. I got my associate's and then went back and got my bachelor's and then went on for another year for my ordination. And when I was in Uzbekistan, I was young, 2001, nope, I can't think of it right now. 21, maybe-ish. And we started like a little teen ministry. And one of the cool parts I can say here is literally like you would go out in the parks, and if you saw police, you would kind of walk that way. Like you weren't allowed to openly be proclaiming the gospel. And when I got there, they gave me a translator. So I would go down in the parks, and one of the things we did, me and Yosef Marion, is we would teach a Bible college class, and we would go out in the cities, find kids, do teen ministry, and then try to bring them into the Bible college class, and we taught Hebrews. And it was really awesome. And the testimony I have here is, so we were there, and some of the young people that we were kind of finding and ministering to later on ended up going to Bible college. And it was really hard as American, and he was Hungarian, to be in Uzbek. You know, they didn't like outsiders very much. And so eventually we had to leave. Like Pastor Mati, he was there for some years. He would leave every 3 or 4 weeks, go to another country for a day, because he only could get like a 30-day visa, go there for a day, and then he would come back for 30 more days. And this is how you had to work it. And the church was constantly on the move. But what was awesome is this summer, we were all over the place, and we were doing all sorts of classes. You know, looking back, some of those kids, we were kids ourselves at the time, but some of those kids that we ministered to went on to Bible college. And some of these guys, they are the locals now in the underground churches in Uzbekistan. Like, you never know what your life is going to do in another person's life. You never know that testimony of light that you have, how it's going to impact other people in this world. Adrian Rogers was just talking about John Bunyan. Who knows John Bunyan? In here, John Bunyan, famous author, right? He wrote the books like Fox's Book of Martyrs or Pilgrim's Progress. John Bunyan's story is quite an awesome story. I actually printed it out. It's somewhere in my many piles here. And John Bunyan has an awesome testimony. John Bunyan, he grew up and he kind of rebelled against God at a very young age. He rejected God, rejected truth, had a hard time with his dad because of this, and he ended up joining the military at a very young age. The story goes, he was like planned to go on a front line and something happened where he didn't go and somebody else took his place. And the guy that took his place took a bullet to the head and died. Like John Bunyan should have died. He should have been that man, but he didn't. And after a few years, John Bunyan was discharged from the army. And now I'm just going to read this little blurb. This is from Banner of Truth. It's this really cool thing where you can go and read audio biographies of these Christians. And I'm just going to read this. Discharged from the army after 3 years, Bunyan married a God-fearing woman. I'll just stop there, right there. That says everything, right? Pastor Shabelli, many a times in his messages, says, thank God for my wife. Thank God for Ptarmigan. Thank God for our wives, right? Sometimes they smack us and keep us on track. Bunyan married a God-fearing woman. So Bunyan was born in 1628. In 1648 is when he got married, and she brought two books into their marriage. The Plains Man's Pathway to Heaven by Arthur Dent and The Practice of Piety by Lewis Biley. And this, I'm just reading the insert. So these started impacting him and his wife and their marriage. These books convicted Bunyan of his sin, and he made attempts to reform his life. But he realized that he was lost and he was without Christ. When he came into contact with a group of women whose joyous conversation, and this is in quotes, so I'm guessing this is one of his writings, joyous conversation about the new birth and Christ deeply impressed him. In 1651, the women introduced him to their pastor in Bedford, John Gifford, who was instrumental in leading Bunyan to repentance and faith. And if you know the story, Bunyan actually goes out and starts preaching. They don't like the way he's preaching and what he's doing, and he gets put in prison for 12 and a half years. While he's in prison, he writes the books that we know of, like Fox's Book of Martyrs, and he starts the book, Pilgrim's Progress. So 12 and a half years, he's in prison. And he comes out, and he goes on to be a pastor when he comes out of prison. Like, these are testimonies that have an impact on us. These are testimonies, and all because these women were joyous, and he overheard them speaking. And he was searching God, and he was not finding, and he heard how happy these ladies were. And he got happy, and it changed his life because of it. All right, slide number 4. And this is a quote from Billy Graham. This was used in Bible College by Dr. Wright, Maryland Bible College and Seminary, recently. And he used it in one of his classrooms. And he was using this quote in talking about our testimonies and our lives are like a classroom. And this is a quote of Billy Graham. It says, we are the Bibles, the world is reading. We are the creeds, the world is needing. We are the sermons, the world is heeding. And don't take it out of context. It's a quote. It's worth what it's worth, right? I mean, it may not be perfect in and of itself. You know, the Bible is the Bible. Jesus is the light. We are a reflection of that. But just to the idea of our life as a testimony, and that testimony of light impacts this world. We are the Bibles. The world is reading. So if we are the reflection of the light of God, some people will only see Jesus through you, through your life, through your words, through your actions, through you speaking to them and giving them the gospel. We are the creeds the world is needing. They see what you do and they hear what you say. We are the sermons the world is heeding. Like, your life speaks to them. They may never sit in here on a Sunday morning, but they work with you Monday through Friday and they see your lives. And our life is a testimony of light to a world that lies in darkness. All right, can we go to darkness? Let's kill all the lights. Zeb, you want to move up front for a second? So I'm going to play around here. I grabbed my daughter's lovely mirror this morning, or last night, for this example. Come right up front and sit by Mark. I bought a flashlight, and we're just going to see how this works in this room. And I learned this morning, And I, when I got here, this is actually two-sided, and one side it actually magnifies more than the other. That's kind of scary. I don't want to see myself any bigger. So point the flashlight like right here, and we kind of have this fun. If you look at the ceiling, right? So this would be reflection. The light is shining at the mirror, and then I can kind of even, I'm going to set down the mic for a second. As I shake, I can blind Sarah sitting in the booth, or my wife right here, and Katie, right? And it's powerful, right? This light is incredibly, incredibly powerful. The first thing everybody did as I got Marcy, and she jumped, see? That's it. You can go back. Thanks. All right, so it's powerful, right? Marcy, sorry, she jumped. But that's actually applicable to the example, right? Marcy jumped. Sarah ducked. My wife went like this and closed her eyes quick. Light is powerful. In a dark room, you turn on the lights and the darkness flees. In a path in the middle of the woods that is snow-covered, if there's candles, you know where the path is. If there's no candles, you don't know where that path is. Your light, your life is the light, which is a testimony to a world who lies in darkness. And we are like this mirror, and Jesus Christ is like that light, and the light that reflects off of us is what the world is seeing of Jesus Christ. All right, in your bulletin today, and I don't want to miss this because I've been bugging Kristen for weeks and months to make sure this made it for me, was a bunch of inserts. And on your seats, as you came in, there was a bunch of tracks, right? I hope anyway. So let's just look at these inserts for just a second. So this one is, He is risen. Greater Grace Community Church invites you to worship with us on Easter, 9 a.m., no child care. I'm the Sunday school pastor. I want to push that. No child care, 9 a.m. 11, we have a full service with child care. You know what? This isn't for you. Sorry. It's not for you. It's for you to take home, to take to work, to take to your friends' houses, to take to your family members and say, hey, I want to invite you to come to our Easter Sunday church service. I love you, but this isn't for you. Take a picture on your phone, send it to all your friends, but hand this one out. If you want a bigger copy because your local Storts, you want to hang it on the board, we made 20. They're out on the hallway. Grab one on your way out and hang it at your local Storts. Invite people because our life is the light. It is a testimony that the world sees. The other one, this one's for you. See, I made one for you too. I made it fair. That was nice of me. Thank you, Kristen Rice. She did it all. This one's for you. So what we've been doing is we kind of charted the key outreaches that the church has going on. I want to encourage you. Remo's in, Troy, in, and they go inside because it's freezing outside. If you like outside, join Pastor Moore. He's in Saratoga hopping bar to bar while he freezes between, right? But this one, it shows you, like, Mondays, we have a few nursing homes. Fridays, we do outreach and sports in Mechanicville with teenagers. Saturday afternoons in Troy, Saturday nights in Saratoga. That one's for you. That's an invite. You know what? Reach out to Remo and find yourself in Troy on a Saturday afternoon. And you know what? When you reach out, you find it builds you up as well. They say some of the greatest jobs in the world are those when people are helping other people, like nurses. That's very fulfilling when you go home and you just helped save somebody's life. Or you just made an impact on somebody's life. That's outreach. You are out there and you can, and here's our last one that you found on your seats, tracks. We have lots of different colors and flavors, and Remo even went out and bought more, and we bought a stamp, and we're stamping them so people have information. You know, I drive through McDonald's, and I always hand the lady a track. If it's in Mechanicville, I actually, if they're young, I hand them this one. These are by the door. I think we put three or four around. This one is teens in Mechanicville on Friday nights. A lot of the times, if it's just very generic and passing, I just hand them this. This is our church. You're invited to church. If I have time to speak for a while, this is my son's favorite. I think it's becoming Remo's new favorite. This is how do you get to heaven. This one's really good if you're new, because basically you can just lead them right through the information that's built within the track. How do you get to heaven? There's seven choices. You know, read it 10 times, obviously, before you hand it to somebody so you know what the right answer is. But it's a really good survey to walk people through the very basic gospel that how do you get to heaven? Well, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. Enough said right there, right? Jesus Christ, period. The end. Our salvation lies in him and him alone, by grace through faith, period. The end of sentence. All right, so I'm going to turn in my message for just a second. And let's go to slide 5. And I'll say, when I was putting my notes together for this message, I was texting Sarah, because she puts my slides and my information together and tries to make it work. And she said, I've never seen your notes all over the place like this before. You should see my notes up here. It is all over the place. And I contemplated this question a little bit. This is one of those devotionals. Ben Larkin got me using this app. What's the name of that app, Zeb? YouVersion. Who said that? Go. Ah, Ben! I didn't see you. I looked for you earlier. And there's these cool little things within the app. I like to read Oswald Chambers. I like to read Faith Thoughts. I like to read David Jeremiah. There's various people I really like. And then there's some other ones like commentaries and things when I'm reading and studying that I also use. But those ones I use a lot. Oswald Chambers is probably one of my favorites from my Bible college years. And one of the devotionals, and I'll move over here so you can see the words, Oswald Chambers kind of challenges us with a question. And he says, what wrong concepts about God are we holding on to that keep me from experiencing joy? And that's an Oswald Chambers quote. And I added a little bit at the end, or that keep me from experiencing all of Christ, right? What things am I holding on to? Some people would say, like, you know, they put God in this box right here, right? And here's God, he's in the box. But God doesn't want to be contained in your little minute box. God wants to have all of you. He wants to overflow out of you. He wants to fill you so full that it's overflowing, that you are just a reflection of Jesus Christ's light to the world. But sometimes we allow our own thinking, or we allow our own ways, almost in a way, to get in the way of God. He says, hey, go to Troy, join Remo at the atrium. Remo, wave. Everybody look at Remo and wave back. Hi, Remo. That's Remo. If you don't know who Remo is, there he is, right? Find him and say, hey, I want to join you. Even if you go and you don't say anything and you just hang out and pray and observe and watch, that's where every one of us started. We just went and hung out and been part of the body. Just go. But sometimes our own thinking gets in the ways of us experiencing the fullness of Christ, right? And we could, that could, I mean, that's like, you could go anywhere with that. But I want to think of just sin just for a moment here. And I went to 1828 Webster's, and I kind of played around with this word as well in my studies. And simply put, right, sin is anything that we depart voluntarily to some point from God's path, God's plan, God's will for my life, right? God has a plan for you. He loves you. He cares about you. He wants you to walk with him. And when you're like, no way, God, and you turn your back and you walk the other way, that's sin. When I say no to what God has for me, that is sin. In 1 John 2:16, we can look at the sins of the world. And I'm going to start in 15 and go to 15 and 16. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It is not of the Father, but these things are of the world. And I say that in this message for context. The devil wants to trip you up. The devil does not want you in Troy on Saturday afternoon. He does not want you in Saratoga on Saturday night. He does not want you in Mechanicville on Friday night. He does not want you in the nursing homes on Monday afternoons. He doesn't want you there because he knows your light is going to shine forth in the darkness and it's going to have an impact on the world and it's going to change people and it's going to lead people to Christ. And what the devil's going to do is he's going to use our free will, our old sin nature, our fleshly man, and he's going to try to trip us up any way he can to get us to fall flat on our face and not follow God. So I can't say that and not follow it up with a few quick scriptures. For time's sake, I'm going to go a little fast here in the end because I have a closing song that we're going to do before announcements. We're going to do a song. All right, Matthew 4, 1 to 10, and I'm just going to burn through this part quick, right? Jesus, he's being tempted. And what does Jesus do? You know what? You're going to be tempted in this world. It's going to happen. I wish I could stand up here and say, oh, you became a Christian. Oh, great honky-dory. You'll never be tempted again. Praise Jesus. It's not going to happen. I'd be the biggest liar on earth if I said such things. Just because you became a Christian doesn't mean you're not going to be tempted. Even more so, now the devil's going to try to get you to trip and fall flat on your face, and then he's going to try to hold you down so you don't get up. And we want to get up, and we want to go forward with Christ. And what Jesus do? He's being tempted. That old saying, what would Jesus do? What do we want to do? Jesus kept saying, it is written. When you are being tempted, turn to the word of God and see, what does God have to say about this? And then you know what? Turn to the devil and say, get behind thee, Satan. It is written. And quote scripture to him. I'm sure he loves when you quote scripture to him. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says we're bought with a price. Glorify God. Hebrews 10:23, 24, 25, same line along the sin and what's going on. It tells us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. You need to be here on Wednesday nights, on Sunday nights, on outreach, when the doors are open. On Wednesday afternoons, Larry does a Bible study in the kitchen. On Thursday night, there's men's ministry at Panera. On Saturday mornings, there's women's ministry varying in different places. And Saturday nights, there's young adults. There's teens. There's youth ministry. There is so much going on that Kristen and I have to decide what announcements are we making this week and what announcements are we going to hold off till next week. If you grab the back of the bulletin, it kind of tells you a quick outline of what's going on in the church. There is a lot going on. You want to shy away from that temptation? Be in the body. Be in the body. Forsake not the assembly. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing how? By the word of God. You want to grow in your faith? stick your nose in the book. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing how? By the word of God. If your nose is in the book, you're going to grow in faith. Slide 6. Quick quote. Who knows who said it? I found it. I liked it. I threw it in the message. It says, live in such a way that those who know you but don't know God will come to know God because they know you. Right? And that's really the in the context of the theme of the message. The title of our message this morning is A Testimony of Light. Be such a testimony of light in a world that lies in darkness, that because they know you, they ultimately get to know God. That mirror, I'm just a mirror. Jesus Christ is the light, and I'm that mirror, and I'm just reflecting that powerful love and nature of Jesus to a world that lies in darkness. Let me be just a testimony of light. And I think I'm just going to go right to the words to the song. We're going to, music, if you want to come on up and get ready for time's sake, I'm going to read the words of a song written by Chris Rice, not the man standing in the hallway, another Chris Rice. And then we're going to go to slide 7, Sarah, and we're going to close with the verse we started with. But listen to these words. All right, this is called Go Light Your World by Chris Rice. There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a candle, and makes his home. So carry your candle, run to the darkness, seek out the hopeless, confused and torn. Seek out the hopeless. Hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle and go light the world. Take your candle and go light the world. Frustrated brother, see how he's tried to light his own candle some other way. See now your sister, she's been robbed and lied to. She still holds out a candle without a flame. So carry your candle, run to the darkness. Seek out the lonely, the tired, and the worn. Hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle and go light your world. Take your candle and go light your world. We are a family whose hearts are blazing. So let's raise our candles and light up the sky. Praying to our Father in the name of Jesus, make us a beacon in darkest times. So carry your candle, run to the darkness. Seek out the helpless, deceived, and poor. Hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle and go into the world. Carry your candle, run to the darkness. Seek out the hopeless, confused, and torn. Hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle and go light your world. And I'm just going to end with the very verse that I started with. And then I'm going to pray. We're going to have a closing song. Maybe we could stand for the closing song. And then we're going to do announcements after the closing song today. So Matthew chapter 5. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out, trampled under the foot. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That light is powerful. And that light is, Jesus is that light, and we reflect that light to a world that lies in darkness. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to stand and just have a closing song. So Father, we praise you and we thank you that you use these vessels to be a testimony of your light, that you are the light of a world that lies in darkness. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Father, help us to live in that light. Help us to be a testimony of light, and help us to be a candle that lights those that are hurting in this world's flame. praise you, Father. Our eyes closed, our heads bowed. Jesus Christ loves you. He is the light of the world. He came, he died, he has a plan. And this world and the darkness and the sin that lies in, that's not his plan. His plan is for you to walk with him and be born again. Our eyes closed, our heads bowed. Jesus loves you. If you've never prayed to accept Christ before and you want to accept him, it's a simple prayer of faith between you and God. If you're listening on the internet, if you're watching, if whatever it may be, if you haven't asked Jesus into your life and you want to, just ask him, Jesus, come into my life and live. Make me a child of God. Jesus, just a simple prayer of faith. Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins on that cross. Thank you, Jesus. Forgive my sins. Come into my life and live and make me a child of God. We praise you and we thank you. If you prayed that and you've never prayed it before, let me know so I can encourage you. If you don't have a Bible, let me know so I can get you a Bible. And if you don't have a church, we have lots of seats here for you. Father, thank you for each person in this room. Thank you for every member in particular. Bless this day and all that follows, we ask. In Christ's name, amen. Can we stand for a